So I like to, that's good information. I want to look at this science article. Where is it? Geez, look at that. I deleted it. Stupid Bob. Oh, no, here it is. Okay. This is called Black Hole Computing. And the subtitle is, Might Nature's Bottomless Pits Actually Be Ultra-Efficient Quantum Computers? That could explain why data never dies. So I'd like to go through the sentences of the article, and you comment as we go, sort of like the way we do Ezekiel and the Book of Revelation, and you're free to take it any way you want. So it begins. Look at this, how they start. After you die. Okay, opening statement. After you die, your body's atoms will disperse and find new venues, making their way into oceans, trees, and other bodies. Now, we know we don't die, but what would you say about that, giving them half an inkling of some kind of accuracy? Does your body's atoms disperse and find new venues, making their way into oceans, trees, and other bodies? You can say no if that's what it is, Ion.
Well, we're going to say no, but you're talking about black holes. But see, why don't you say it this way, or here's what we would say into that position. Nearly all the information that falls into a black hole escapes back out.
And that's not understood right now. That's not believed.
Correct. Right.
Okay.
The work suggests that black holes could one day be used as a quantum capacitor.
That's what the article's about. And yours, and mm-hmm. you would I sell what we're doing, accomplish what that hope is, even better now we're doing it, or is there something that's going to bring in that we'll develop?
The quantum mechanics, they try to say that black holes don't emit radiation, they eat them, but the radiation comes out. Okay?
Okay, so that's, are they ever going to realize that with their instruments?
No.
All right. Now, why wouldn't they? Does it require spiritual?
Well, my God, you got that idiot, Daniel Gottesman, that from Waterloo, Canada. He thinks he knows something. He's talking about your bullshit. He doesn't have a clue.
And he's an example of someone that hogs the microphone and would never get to the point you just made about it, the emission.
Right. Right, but now Seth Lloyd is a little bit different. He uses it to make the projection to obfuscate the paradox. If you can obfuscate the paradox, then you have extreme circumstances like intense gravitational fields of black holes. They would ordinarily have several options for the behavior. Now they have only one. A black hole could cause a coin thrown into it always to come up heads.
Okay,
do you remember the squid billies? Hold on. Do you remember the squid billies where they made a CERN black hole horror swallower and they opened it so that Dan Haven could dump his 8-ball fueled weekend of debauchery into that and Grandpa Pee-Pee could be thrown in there to get them out? And that's the episode called God's Bro. You remember God's Bro?
This is
an example. Believe it or not, this is that example of what you're trying to see and say. And what you're trying to say is, would it become a computer? And it would not be a computer, but it would compute. The capacity in a black hole, however a hole swallower it may be, does indeed solve and preclude a paradox. The paradox is something you don't know. It never ends up because you don't know how it ever ends up. So it never ends up. So it becomes this thing you can't know. So therefore, you try to make it into something else. So it's kind of like, well, we have to go to God to solve these things. And then, of course, that's what the little preacher man says. Well, if we don't know, if we don't understand it, that it's an abomination before God. That's how they leave it. And then it becomes a thing. This now becomes the components get tangled up. And now, so when matter that's been sucked in the black hole interacts with the infalling Hawking radiation at the singularity, the interaction instantaneously produces a change in the Hawking red radiation that escapes back into the black hole. Because the final stage prediction model forces this interaction to behave in only one way. The radiation therefore carries information about material inside the black hole. Now, here's where they're missing the point. Oh, wait, we're kind of running your show, aren't we? We've got to let you ask the question.
Yeah, let me just say, you're saying what they're saying here. This article does not hope for what God's bros show. They don't know it can go in that direction. Is that what your opening point was?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you've just been describing.
John Preschool, well, this applies to what you're talking about. John Preschool, the California Institute of Technology in Pasadena, that one is better. You get a better touch. It more aligns with Lloyd.
Right, but you were describing a bunch of stuff there, and I didn't know which part is what Hawking and him think and which part is the fact that they don't know about. So you might have blurred it unless you...
No, we did it on purpose. We did it on purpose. Here's the answer. The random nature of these interactions, those are the ones we were just talking about, all of them, okay?
Yeah.
You get this? The random nature of these interactions, the ones we just talked about, means the system is almost perfectly entangled, which is exactly what your complaint was. That was exactly your complaint, and that's exactly what the article's about, and that's exactly the paradox that they're trying to figure out, and that's exactly why they're trying to use a black hole to make it be a quantum computing extraordinaire. Now, that's an example, but guess what can live in a black hole, Bob?
What?
The clouds.
Right. You mean your clouds, not Bill Gates' clouds.
Yes.
Now, this is not connected to iCell processes. This is something different that I engage and create.
It becomes a mission implausible.
Right. Is this the area of knowledge that Chad's stumbling into?
We're forcing it down his throat hole.
Right. Okay. So
he's doing real good, and he's trying to work it out, and he's doing good, but we don't want to ruin your recording.
Right. And all that you just said, I can broadcast?
You will anyway.
Confidential.
Right. Will. Now, listen to it and see if it doesn't out you too much.
Right, and are we? Is there somebody listening to us right now, monitoring this conversation, that we're not aware?
All is recorded. All is recorded.
Oh, that means someone else is recording this. Oh, that's what you meant.
All is recorded. Yeah.
Right.
And wonderfully so.
Is it someone living in the compound here, or they don't have to be here to do it?
They don't have to be here. They don't have to be there. Right.
Okay. Now. Going through the scripture of this article, they go, but according to the laws of quantum mechanics, all of the information about your body's build and function will prevail. You can make just a quick statement. You've made a general statement. You can make a yes, no, or...
That doesn't matter. However true or untrue, it doesn't matter.
Okay. The relationship between the atom...
Stop. Now listen to what you're doing. Yeah. You're making an entanglement. Do you see? You are, by these words you're speaking, this is that problem with Dan LaRouche. You always wake up with some bum up your bum hole because you're going to get in this position. You're making these statements that basically preface the preface. That's the essence of the entanglement. Okay, go ahead. Now, you read the first one, and we said,
right.
Now go to the next one.
Next sentence. The relations between the atoms, the uncountable particulars that made you, you, will remain forever preserved, albeit in unrecognizably scrambled form, lost in practice, but immortal in principle. Now, that's all silly, but what could you say within that? If the journalist was listening to us, what could you advise them on that statement? You want me to say it again?
Well, if you have to pull it back together, you've got some misnomers you got to overcome. The first thing, you got to go the weirdness of the quantum world to solve certain specific problems faster than we know how to solve them using a regular computer. And if scientists have been working toward this for 120 years, you don't have any useful quantum computers. Well, the theory is now well developed. There's been spectacular progress. But it's on the experimental side. You don't have any computers that uncontroversially use quantum mechanics to solve a problem faster than you know how to solve the same problem using a regular computer. So Now you're ready to come into a play where you start being plausible, okay, is that many of you care about quantum computing less for its real but modest applications than because it defines our preconceptions about the ultimate limits of computations. See, from that standpoint, it's hard to avoid asking whether quantum computers are the end of the line or not. You see? This is a huge thing, because you won't go anywhere past our cloud. So if you've got to play with this, you'll make some esoteric fixed flax. Oh, by the way, tell Carolyn about the flax. Remind her about the flax. The flax that you're going to engage as the art of inefficiency. The art of inefficiency, Bob.
That's what we're going to do, or that's what they're stumbling along, regular science?
There won't be. You won't be able to tell the difference. You won't be able to tell the difference, Bob.
Yes, and just a sidebar, I sort of saw clearly that, so McLuhan said in the 60s that he lives by percept because concepts can't keep up with the changes. So he's prophetic that the matter is changing so much from now on, like the Evergreen said, the second coming is perpetual change, that you have to do RNA drops, living water, and bread of life to tune your body into the unforeseen changes that are happening. And one wouldn't bother reading old science or coming up with new concepts for very long. You wouldn't rely on them very long because things are changing so much. That's the reason why we're going to keep making products to fine-tune in response to the changes, correct? Is that a correct way to look at what's happening?
It's okay. It's okay.
Are there going to be concepts that will stabilize that we can use, understanding what the drops and everything the eye cell does?
Yes, we're going to break it down into qubits.
Okay, all right. That was a side thing, but in general,
you're not going to ask what a qubit is.
No, we've done that before. We did that in the Book of Revelation. I think it's a
qubit?
Horse, part of a horse or something. It's a horse.
A qubit?
Plant. Yeah, I don't remember, but I remember the word being talked
That's
about.
No, you don't.
Well, I think we talked about with the Ark of the Covenant, measuring it.
No, that's not spelled the same way. That's a qubit. This is a qubit.
Oh. That's C-U-B-I-T. You're saying Q-B-I-T?
Well, Q-U-B-I-T.
Oh, okay, rather than C-U. No, I don't know what Q-U is. You care to explain?
A qubit is a two-state quantum mechanical system such as the polarization of a single photon. Here, the two states are vertical polarization and horizontal polarization.
Awesome. It's so much better without Carolyn here doing her stupid fucking chemistry, right?
Well, we put the picture 7.5 years from now, she probably will. We put a picture of it in your Lucky Box, too, Bob.
Oh, nice. But the point is, we haven't had a talk like this with the modern concepts in a long time. Maybe Chad did a little bit here and there in Payday, but... we're getting a lot of good stuff here from you, and but we're usually listening to Carolyn.
We're doing the rudiment. We're doing the rudimentary quantum circuit. You got to get to it. You got to do the logic gate, a quantum logic gate.
I have to do that to understand, overlay what's
to
going
get
on,
it.
Or
yeah.
Get it. Okay.
Yeah.
Now it's a great picture here. Need cloud computing solutions? View options. Compare cloud computing options today. Now, this would be what they're doing. This is not what you're doing already.
That's right. No, this is what they're showing is. That's right. These are the things you have to choose from. It's kind of like when you go to the plastic surgery people, Bob, and they're going to tuck and tie. They'll give you before pictures and after pictures of other people they cut the knife to.
Yeah.
Those are what you have to choose from, those predicated fallout outcomes, you see? I mean, it's like Gloria Vanderbilt. we got her now, but she looked better at 112 than she did at 60.
Okay, so anyways, we're not going to dwell on it. I see that. I can look at it, but you're saying it's not accurate.
Right.
But it is what they're saying. Okay, so...
Well, that's where you begin the choices of which way you take this mix. See, we've got to drive you to get you past the Thompson quadrant, because you'll
right.
get logic. You'll get logic and die. Logic equals death.
Does the Croker quadrant go better towards understanding this?
Or no, it just scares you to death. It doesn't even see it. It scares you away from logic. It scares you away
right.
from logic.
Okay, so we did the relations between the atoms, the uncountable particulars that made you will remain forever preserved, albeit in unrecognizably scrambled form, lost in practice but immortal in principle. This is crazy talk from our perspective, but you've responded to that. I'll go on to the next sentence, right?
Yes.
Yeah, there is only one apparent exception to this reassuring concept. According to our current physical understanding, information cannot survive an encounter with a black hole. You accept that? No.
No, not at all. It all came. Everything that's here came from a black hole. What are you talking about?
Garden of Eden? Is the Garden of Eden in a black hole?
It came from a black hole.
Right. So a black hole is a very positive, wonderful situation, is how you look at it, right?
Yes. So we did talk about the X gate and the H gate.
Did you say you did talk about it?
We are talking about it and we're trying to decide. Well, this may help you. This may help you.
And you're going to say something. Oh, you're
this may help
something,
you.
Yeah.
Yes, we are sending you something. Now,
you know, I like to say that we're bigger than Saturn. So you have these images of black holes that people can look at through telescopes or however they see them on the computer. They do not think that is paradise, but it is a image of what one is and feels in the Garden of Eden. Correct? It's an approximation. If you look at it backwards.
Yeah. Yeah, we're fixing to show you that RXA equals EXT parentheses minus IAX over 2 close parentheses equals big parentheses cos A over 2 minus I sine O over 2 minus sine A2. We sent that to you, Bob. Those are your rotations.
I see it. Yeah.
That's your qubit. That's what you're going to look at. And that gives you, these are wrong, but look down at your picture. You see your picture?
Yes, the sphere.
Now that sphere is a working example of your angel diagram. Do you see how those angel diagram circles stack?
Wow, that's neat.
You see those angles that are calculated?
Yeah.
You see the 14 degrees, the 14 degrees of freedom?
Yes, they could be projected in that, yeah.
Now, if you did that in a hologram, that would be the flat part of the lotus flower. And you see that point in the middle where all those angles come from, and you have those other circles that are also connecting, and that's why we said those are all spinning, and these are all spinning, and the spin is spinning, and the spinning, and all the different rings, and the valence, and the covalence, and then those atomic bounds in a box outside of the corner, and it shows you the rotation gates.
Right. Now, is the 14 rings, just 14 spheres, are they inside this purple one, or this
yes.
is one of them?
No, this
oh,
is,
they're inside
this is,
it.
They are. This is just a little example. We decided to give you this because you're never going to get it otherwise, so we might as well cheat God and give you
yes.
a little heads up best we can, just because you're going to waste all the money. You're going to waste all the money, and they won't have a clue. Now, you can't quite do this, okay, because the non-classical gate is a fractional power of not gate. You see? And if you consider like that.
Are you saying we can't do what they're trying to show can be done?
Correct. but this does give you the way to see it, which is exactly what your article is proving in quantum computing. We're showing you what to do, and this is the thing that won't work. We're giving you the formula to use, and this is the formula that won't work. So if you're going to not do it, this is how you prove you can't do it, is this way. But in doing it, then you're going to find something, and something happens. And then you get, like, zero is greater than the square root of not over to the square root of not in rotation gauge. Do you remember when he said this about 9,273,419 time stamp? Not from not is not?
Yes.
You remember that?
That's this. Okay, I always thought it was making fun of me.
We pumped up the volume just for you, Bob, just for you. And it's a happy day. Right. Save this form because you're going to use those things because it even has truth or consequences. So you can find out what X and Y, and then the output is X and X plus Y. Oh, not is not not. Not and one. Already down to proving that the C not obtained from the transformation.
Okay.
See? Now the icon for the swap gate is where it flips. Now you're going to come into basic triangulation. This explains triangulation in a form. But we're not proving that because we don't want you to be distracted. But you get all the way into the Fredkin, then you can get some fucked up Fredkins, and then it gets into a whole other lip. A lip of a Fredkin gate.
And this is where Lip and Shameless is going to go to, right?
You better know it.
You mentioned Lip.
Yeah.
Lip,
the young folly.
Smart guy.
Into folly.
It'll be folly.
Yeah.
Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And Steve Berkeley.
All right. 40 years ago, Stephen Hawking demonstrated that black holes destroy information for good. Now, he's retracted that since then, right? Does he still hold to that?
Disavow. Yeah. He disavowed. Yeah. But he does that a lot. I mean, it's wobbly, wobbly, wobbly. I mean, who can listen to that shit anymore? It's kind of ridiculous.
Right. So then the article says, whatever falls into a black hole disappears from the rest of the universe. It eventually reemerges in a wind of particles, they call it the Hawking radiation, that leaks away from the event horizon, the black hole's outer physical boundary. Now, is there anything
we were talking about? No, but we already talked about that. Remember, we were telling you about the Hawking radiation earlier. This is obfuscating the false premise that they're using to prove that this is how it doesn't work. Now, if you can figure out the trebling triplicate negatives, you find that that's how you figure things out, which is the opposite of what they're saying is. Well, they're kind of saying that, but they don't know what the hell they're talking about. You know, Bob.
Yeah. So then they say, in this way, black holes slowly evaporate, but the process erases all knowledge about the black hole's formation. Any comment on that sentence? It's wrong.
No, answer, it's wrong. No, that's just ridiculousness,
Right. The radiation merely carries data for the total mass, charge, and angular momentum of the matter that collapsed. Every other detail about anything that fell into the black hole is irretrievably lost.
That's not true because it all falls out. We already said that all that stuff that comes in falls out somewhere. It squirts out somewhere else. Just because you don't know it doesn't mean it is not. That's the false premise. That's what they've got wrong about black hole computing, and black hole processing. Those different degrees, for example, the things we said that you would do with your angel diagram, you can't do either. And you're so close now that you've even engaged solicitors to even consider it, haven't you?
Right. Okay.
But you don't have enough information. You don't have enough information to activate it yet. But you know what it's supposed to look like when you're through. That's the essence. That's the essence of the first reconstruction in the first place, isn't it?
Ah. Okay. Hawking's discovery of black hole evaporation has presented theoretical physicists with a huge conundrum. And here's the conundrum. General relativity says that black holes must destroy information. Quantum mechanics says it cannot happen because information must live on eternally. Both general relativity and quantum mechanics are extremely well-tested theories, and yet they refuse to combine. Could we combine them, or we won't even use either of them?
You all are. Right. You have. That's the God's bro.
Okay. The Clash reveals something much more fundamental than a seemingly exotic quirk about black holes. This is what it reveals. The information paradox makes it aptly clear that physicists still do not understand the fundamental laws of nature.
That's right.
It's proving
that how not to do it. This is how you don't proceed. This is how you can't succeed. Good.
Is that Popper's null hypothesis? Or false, whatever they call it. The null hypothesis. You know, you can't, you don't have a viable theory unless it can be disproven. Does that apply here to their
mission? Not really, because let me tell you why not. Because it doesn't apply. See, it's got what the null theory has to apply. And if you don't have to apply the null theory, then it doesn't. Well, then that statement doesn't work either. That you don't have to have a null theory, then you have to have one to prove that it is. No, you don't have to one to prove that it is. You have to have one to prove that it is not.
Got it. Okay. They then quote a guy, Gia DeValle, professor of physics at the Ludwig Maximilian University of Munich. He believes he's found the solution. And he says, black holes are quantum computers. We have an explicit information processing sequence. That's all he's quoted as saying. Then the journalist says, if he is correct, the paradox is no more, and information truly is immortal. Even more startling, perhaps, is that his concept has practical implications. In the future, we might be able to tap black hole physics to construct quantum computers of our own. Any comment on his
solution? Well, you do. Well, we would say you have already, but they don't listen to us.
Is he faking what he understands more than he lets on?
No, he's not faking, but he doesn't understand what he knows. But he's not faking it. He genuinely doesn't know what he's talking about.
But he doesn't know that.
Right. That's what we just said. Yeah. He doesn't know. He doesn't know what he's talking about. That's what we just said.
Okay. So then it says, the main reason why...
You silly Bob.
Yeah. This is good. Bob's analyzing not for not. The main reason why recovering information from black holes seems impossible is that they are almost featureless spheroids with essentially no physical attributes on their horizons. They have no hair, as the late U.S. physicist John Wheeler put it. You cannot store information in something that has no features that could be used to encode it, the standard argument goes. I'll do it again. You cannot store information in something that has no features that could be used to encode it. And therein lies the error, DeValle says, quote, all these no-hair theorems are wrong? No, he's saying it. I thought it was a question mark. All these no-hair theorems are wrong. He and his collaborators argue that gravitons, the so far undiscovered quanta that carry gravity and make up space-time, stretch throughout the black hole. So they argue that the gravitons do stretch throughout the black hole and give rise to quantum hair, which allows storing as well as releasing information. Would you want to explain what they think they know by the graviton? What are they on to that they don't have the perception of it?
The qubit
aspect. All right, so they don't suspect that. Do they know about qubits?
They don't know how to apply it.
Right. Okay. The new research built. So what he's saying is ridiculous, but it's interesting just to get your comments on the words they use, like the graviton. Is the graviton is a qubit, but they don't know that it's a qubit.
Right.
Yeah.
Because they say it goes away. They say it goes away, but then they say it stirs up and it changes the black hole, stirs it into something, and we say no, it becomes the essence of it, which is what the LaRouche quadrant says. So not only does it put something up your bum, it converts you into what it wants you to be. See, not only they put it up your bum, it changes you.
Does LaRouche go that far? You're saying LaRouche?
Well, of course he does.
Little correct on that point.
Well, what is that? No, we're just saying that's what LaRouche says. That not only they put it up your bum, you become something. You're their slave, or you're whatever that thing is.
Producers for Bob. You become slave of Bob. Producers for Bob.
Okay.
are you saying LaRouche? That's where LaRouche takes it. But you're bringing it up because there is some relevance to what LaRouche says, or no relevance?
No. But the point. That's why I'm strong with it. Is that it becomes this systemic thing, too. That's what's wrong with it.
Now, LaRouche does try not to stay fixed in some axioms, but he still
does. And yet he drops himself right there every single time without fail or exception.
Right. Okay, so it says the new research builds on a counterintuitive feature of quantum theory, which is quantum effects are not necessarily microscopically small. Would you agree with that statement? They're not necessarily
small. They're not small. They're not small. They're large.
And they think they are small.
Then they don't know, right.
Right. Now, that's the key to integrating Einstein's macro view with the micro, tiny quantum view. You just expressed the insight that we put the two together. Yeah. True, those effects are fragile and are destroyed quickly in warm and busy environments, such as those typically found on Earth. This is why we don't normally witness them. This is also the main challenge in building quantum computers, which process information using the quantum states of particles instead of the on-off logic of traditional transistors. But in a cold and isolated place, quantum behavior can persist over large distances, large enough to span the tens to billions of kilometers of a black hole horizon. Now, is the Project Paperclip guys, do they make some kind of quantum computer that this article doesn't know about?
Yes, they still have it. It's at Hayteville.
Yeah, and did you say it's in Hayteville or Huntsville? Hayteville?
Well, Hayteville, which is the part of Huntsville where the project was done.
Right, so did the Nazis create a quantum computer?
We didn't say.
Okay, so the guys that have this stuff, they still got problems because they're not looking and they're not using you, correct?
Well, they're not going to get it. They're just talking about it. So you'll come in and save the day, Bob. You'll make the meme.
Right,
they're just talking about it. They're just talking about you. Then you're going to say, let's give them something to talk about. But if they weren't talking about you, there wouldn't be anything to say. See?
Yeah, but you're saying that the Project Paperclip guys do have one, but they don't know what to do with it?
Right. They never have.
Okay. Yes.
Which is why all those people had to get killed.
Right. Okay, so...
Then we're just saying, you're asking, so we're just saying, so just so you know.
Good. Yeah, we don't have Carolyn saying, no, Bob, this is silly, let's get back to the practical stuff, you know. We're running free here.
Free falling.
I'm doing the 40-foot wave, and I'm following the wave.
We're going to do the wave.
Right. Okay.
Nice.
You don't even need to go to outer space to witness long-range quantum effects.
Correct.
The enormous distances and masses necessary to create black hole quantum hair might be far beyond our experimental capabilities. But by cooling atoms down to less than 1/10,000th of a Kelvin, that is 1/10,000th of a degree above absolute zero, researchers have condensed up to a billion atoms spread out over several millimeters into a single quantum state. That's huge for collective quantum behavior. So they have created something, but their understanding of what it is, the theories about it are ridiculous, right?
They haven't quite got it, is the point.
They haven't even got this, but they're saying they did.
Right.
Now, do you have to go any minute?
They might.
Do you have to take...
Okay. But it's okay. Go ahead for a minute.
Yeah. So it says, that's used for collective quantum behavior. Then it says, such an atomic collective, known as a Bose-Einstein condensate, named after the Indian...
Remember that. Higgs and Bose.
Yeah.
We did that remember?
Yeah. Such an atomic collective is currently one of the most promising tools for creating a workable... Now, they don't know that the Project Paperclip guys already have one. Quantum effects within a Bose-Einstein condensate, like the ability to be in two places at the same time, can stretch through the whole condensate, giving rise to many interlocked states. Now, what they're saying here on the direction to make a quantum computer won't lead to a quantum computer. They don't know that, or it does.
It may, but you haven't worked that out yet. You may allow it, but you haven't given us the... We can't do it until you say okay.
Okay.
So it's in your paperwork. It's your paperwork, Bob. You got to get it
in my inbox.
You got to take care of it. Otherwise, nothing's going to move, and we don't care what anybody thinks or what anybody says. That's what's got to be.
What did you say about Carol?
We said we don't care what anybody thinks or what anybody cares. It's up to you. And then you came back and said, what'd you say about Carolyn?
Oh, I heard the word Carolyn. You said something.
No. We said we don't care what anybody thinks or what anybody says.
Oh.
And you said, what'd you say about Carolyn? That was rich, Bob. You're good. That's good.
Enormous information processing power could become available if researchers succeed in stabilizing the condensate and controlling these states. And not
you already have that. You've done that. You've done that already.
Sorry, I got to stop there. We're starting to talk about what I've done. Can't let that out. So I got to move it forward 20 seconds.
And we solved that.
You have solved that, yes.
Yeah,
at great expense. Don't worry, you'll get the bill. You'll like that.
But we saw it in at the Coldplay factory. What you're saying?
Yes.
All right, correct.
And that's the biggest coup. That's the largest coup of all.
Right, but doing that, is that within the world of black hole research that these guys are trying to get access to? Are we dealing with what they're trying to do? Okay.
You're not dealing with it. You're not dealing with it. You've done it.
Yes,
that's why it's such a big fun thing that you would be so sideways and you weren't, but why everything would be so against it all. Chop, chop, chop. Gotta be. This is why that all applies. Because otherwise there's nothing to fight about, you see. And this is good.
Right. Now,
we think it's healthy.
Yeah, that's why
you're going to say how impressed you are with how wonderful you are.
Right, and that's why I'm saying what we've done is warranted or qualified to be in the Genesee chapter.
Had to be.
Okay. All right.
Good. And you're getting there, Bob. You're getting there, but there's more. There always is more to it, but you know that as well because you haven't even gotten to the Quoker quadrant yet.
Right. That's Quoker, not Croker, K-R-O-K-E-R. It's not that. It's Quaker. Right?
Yeah, we make fun of the Quaker quadrant. We make fun of it. Because we don't even think it should have ever made the chart. But that's our opinion.
I know. But Quaker would have Q-U in there. That's like qubit talk is embedded in Quaker.
you're so together. You're having a good day today, Bob. It's good.
Yeah.
You still taking your medicine? How we like it when you take your medicine. It's
I'm
good.
Off my medicine.
Oh no. You'll be off the chain. You'll go to the beach, you'll never come back. You'll find you in the bowels of Grand Malaya. It'll be fun. The last poor Bob, we knew him well. Then Beach Bob will drag you home, and then you'll be dirty because he drug you home. Then he'll have to wash you, stem the sperm, but he can't come to the house because he's nasty, too. If you look at him, he's pretty nasty. So then it's like, oh, God, now I got to get you over Beach Bob washing. So it'll be fun. We'll do it. We got you, Bob. There's a little bit of money in the drawer. There's a little bit of money in the drawer. You can get you some ice cream if you'd be a good boy.
What was I going to say? Let me see the Garden of Eden. We're doing this. Okay. And not coincidentally, Bose-Einstein condensates might also solve the decades-old puzzle of black hole information loss. Now,
well, that's right, because there's no loss. There's no loss.
Right.
That's why it's a problem, and that's why they're trying to tell you something, and that's the rub, and they can't say it, or they do say it, but they don't know what they mean. See, they're trying to prove something they can't even know what is. They're taking a theory, however abstract, and making it be a point. Now they're trying to fix that point. But they don't even know what the point is. So how do you juxtapose a position without the other side? Which is the argument and what we said all along, which you have both sides against the middle, but that's what you're going to use to prove the point. It will disprove what doesn't work. It will disprove the part that does not work. So, good.
And Hawking knows what we have created.
Yes, he does.
But he can't understand it. So, he thinks... I don't know what he thinks, then, if he can't understand it. He refuses to drop in and ask Payday some questions.
He's got himself now into the conundrum where he can only speak to his looky box.
Okay. Now I'm reading all this article.
That is the point.
And it's
that
like not for not. We're what?
That is the point.
About what happened to him.
Yes.
Or me reading the article is the point.
Yes and yes.
Okay. I'm reading this article. Most of the stuff is not, but it's great that it evokes you to correct it, and then I learn things from what you're saying. This is what we're doing here, right?
Yeah, very good, very good, very good.
Right. Okay, so Hawking's information puzzle would find a natural solution, DeValley notes, if black holes consist of gravitons that have undergone Bose-Einstein condensation, which are puddles of condensed gravity in essence. The idea might sound crazy, but for DeValley, it's a perfectly reasonable conclusion drawn from what physicists have learned about black hole information in the years since Hawking first posed his riddle. DeValley is talking this way because he knows what we did, right?
Now he does, yes.
Today, or he knew?
Well, maybe. See, that's the rub. They don't even know what they know that they know. That's what we're saying. That's
right, but
if
he heard recordings with us, has he heard some of our recordings?
Yeah.
Right,
of course.
And that, then he knew he had to.
A lot of people
about
have, Bob. That's why you run around and you turn around and you'll say a name, and the next thing you know, it's already copywritten by somebody. They're listening. They're doing it. They're living the dream, Bob. They're vicariously sucking you off. Blowjobs for Bob. Blowjobs for Bob.
Did you say sucking me off? Is that what you just said?
Yes.
Sucking me off?
They're sucking you off, Bob. They're sucking the life off out of you. So that's what everybody's doing, is they're trying to suck Bob off. So it's all good.
The idea might sound crazy, but for DeValley, it's a perfectly reasonable conclusion drawn from what physicists have learned about black hole information in the years since Hawking first posed his riddle. Theorists know how to calculate how much information the black hole must be able to store. The amount is quantified in the black hole's entropy and proportional to the horizon's surface area. They've also found that black holes can redistribute or scramble information very quickly. That's a misnomer of what they think is happening, correct?
Right, that's right. Good. They don't. They sympathize. They sympathize that it's the condition, but they have nothing to gauge or judge that position on, by, or for. So there's your rub.
Right, and finally, they know the pace at which information must escape from the black hole in order to avoid conflicts with quantum mechanics. Now, what is it? What's their definition of information? What does their word information mean?
They don't know. They're still trying to. No, they don't even know that. See, that's like the mechanics. They're talking about the mechanics like they're people who work on things.
Right. And they're like mechanics.
Basically, they're like mechanics.
All right.
That's what they call mechanics, as in the workings of it. But we're saying it like mechanics, like people who work on a car. Mechanics.
Right. Starting in 2012, DeValley explored these various attributes and discovered to his surprise that certain types of Bose-Einstein condensates share their essential properties with black holes. To act
that's
like a black
true.
Hole...
That's when you...
Okay, I had to censor that part, and we just have to go 4 seconds to get to the next part. I think that's it. Yeah.
That's what he's
and
mocking.
So, right, and he
you're going to get a bill for that too. By the way,
he is discovering things, but looking at it worse than upside down.
Well, he doesn't know. He's just making the position. He can't even say it's that. He doesn't even know enough to say it's that. Does that do you see? It's a fun conjecture, but it's no better than ink and blinking and nod in a fairy tale.
Right. Okay.
Okay, stop it there. And we go 6 seconds. The secret stuff is only 6 seconds. Okay.
Yes. You're still going to get a bill for it, so don't worry.
But I've got all the gold. No problem. To act like a black hole. Yeah. To act like a black hole, the condensate must linger at a transition point, its so-called quantum critical point, where extended fluctuations span through the fluid just before the quantum behavior collapses. Such a quantum critical condensate, DeValley calculated. Let's just see what this is. Okay, I stopped there. And I'm going to go to, that's basically the end of part one. And I'm going to go to part two.